Well, then, we have some things to pray about. We also have some things to remember in prayer. And you'll know what I mean when I ask you to turn with me to the section here in Habakkuk. We have this calling upon us, and this overrides, it should, all other concerns. We're in the book of Habakkuk, and we'll see if we can set this up. Habakkuk has been sort of arguing with the Lord back and forth. He's told by the Lord that this unrighteous nation, Babylon, is going to come and sweep through the land, and it's going to be judgment upon Israel for their sin. And he says, but Lord, we are still more righteous than they. And they talk about this back and forth. It's chapters 1 and 2. But you get to chapter 3, and we hear a prayer for his people, a prayer for the nation. And Habakkuk says this in verse 2 of chapter 3. Lord, I have heard the report about thee, and I fear. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, we'll break this request up into basically three parts. The first is revive. And you know what this means, don't you? It means to breathe life back into something that it's threatening to die. It's something that looks like it just might be a corpse. Give it a few more days if you don't intervene. And the request is that fresh life and new life be coming back in to the nation. Let me read you a couple of similar thoughts from the Psalms. The psalmist said, "My soul cleaves to the dust." You ever felt that way? You just feel like I'm so earthly, I'm so earthbound, I could never rise again. He said that, my soul cleaves to the dust. And this is his prayer. Revive me according to thy word. Again, he says this, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity. And you felt that before too, right? The vain thing attracts you, the thing that sparkles and glitters. Maybe the thing is forbidden, and it's got this pull, and you want to peek at it. And you're not the first, nor will you be the last, and we're certainly not alone. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity. And then he says, and revive me in thy ways. In other words, lay the fear of God upon my heart, that I might walk free. And you remember how Jeff put that Sunday? He said, we have one foot planted in this age because we live here. We work, we go to school here, we raise our families here, got a foot here. This other foot, where is it? It's in the world to come. And it's not that we find ourselves always split in two, but sometimes our attention seems to be divided. Paul will talk about that in his letter to the Corinthians. And he wants undivided distraction from the Lord, but it's sometimes not entirely possible. And you feel yourself, oh, pull this way, pull that way. Oh, Lord, revive me in thy ways. Jesus was able to walk through this world and just shun the glory. You remember, that was the beginning of his ministry. I'll give you all of this if you'll just bow down and worship me. Get behind me. Get behind me. Behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through thy righteousness. This is a man of God saying what? Revive me. When you see Ezekiel's vision over in the 47th chapter. No. 37th chapter. 47's the stream, right? Okay. 37, he goes out to the Valley of Dry Bones. And he sees all these bones, and they're all separate. And it was the fall of a tremendous army. And there they lay unburied, just all bleaching in the sun. The Lord says, Son of man, this is the house of Israel. Oh, what a picture. He says, prophesy. And he begins to prophesy, and bone comes back to bone. He keeps prophesying, and then flesh and sinews and skin cover these corpses. He keeps prophesying. He prophesies to the breath. The breath comes into them, and they stand up, an exceeding great army. It's a beautiful picture of what the prophet is praying for here. Revive. Revive. Revive what? Revive thy work. Thy work. What is the work of God? You felt it in your own soul, if you're in Jesus. What is the work of God? Well, you get glimpses of it all through the scripture. In fact, as Daryl Edwards would say, the book here, all of it, is the history of redemption. And so we have God's working all through the course of human history, redeeming men. But it takes all wonderful different forms. You get in the book of Judges and you see the people oppressed, and God raise up a judge and they become victorious in battle, and then they know great victory and great liberty, and they are who they ought to be, and they walk as they ought to walk until they backslide, and then the whole thing repeats itself. And God keeps doing this. He keeps sending redeemers. He keeps sending saviors. He keeps sending judges. And it's beautiful to see it. You get glimpses of his work in the Gospels. I mean, who else can open blind eyes? Who can make the deaf ear to hear? Or the dumb tongue to speak? Who can make the withered limb strong enough to bear weight? Who can make the cripple get up off his pallet and go home? Only the Lord can do that. He goes forth. And John says, are you the one we're looking for, or do we look for someone else? And he says, you tell John these things about the blind seeing and the deaf hearing and the lame walking, and tell them that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Oh, they're drinking in glorious things, the like they've never heard before. And they could honest, as they go home, and they say, well, honey, how's your day? I heard a man. I heard that teacher from Nazareth speak. Never did a man speak the way this one does. Something, dear, is changing in me. I feel hope. I feel life. Something is going on. It's the work of God. Revive thy work. You see it in the book of Acts, too, don't you? And then in all the epistles throughout the rest of the book. God coming, God opening hearts, God touching the dead, God blessing and founding the church, and digging out a people for his name. It's the work of God. Revive thy work. For us to pray something like that, what would we be asking the Lord to do? You know, we've read books and we've heard tales, but alas, most of us have never really seen it with our own eyes to know what to ask God to do. Lord, we've heard the report about thee, and our hearts fear. But we've read the book, and we've seen the Lord do it over and over and over again, all through Scripture. And we see that he is pleased from time to time to come down, as our Lord said, I will send you another helper, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then you read accounts of how this comes in power upon a community. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Isn't that how it reads? Think upon that. What's he saying? How long has it been since we've seen the hand of God favorably upon us, Habakkuk might argue? How long, O Lord, until you bless the one who sits on the throne there in Jerusalem, the ones who attend around the altar? How long till the houses and the kitchens and the living rooms are blessed? How long until the nursery is strengthened with people, little babbling voices that are happy? How long, Lord, until we see peace in our streets, joy in our cities? Lord, how long? How long? In the midst of the years of silence, years of stillness, when it looks like the hand of the Lord is not moving, that he's not hearing our prayer. Years of repetition when it's the same old, over and over. Lord, revive thy work when every year just seems like the last and only more so. Oh, I thought today in prayer, what a shame that any person who names the name of Christ should find that being a Christian is rather tedious and somewhat boring. Oh, this is the most exciting thing in all the world. This is the most fulfilling thing in the universe, to know the living God through Christ Jesus, to be rightly related to him, to have him wipe sin away, and then to have him bring you into the secret of the Lord. There is nothing better. There is nothing. But the years that just grind on with the same dull monotony. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of those years. Sometimes the years themselves are goads to us, aren't they? Do you ever get just tired of it? Say, Lord, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of who I am. I'm tired of who I'm not. I'm tired of my church being like it is. I'm tired of my community being like it is. And each year, it just goes on and on, Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years that deaden men's hearts. The years that challenge our faith and rock us back on our heels. The years that make men ask, where's your God? What's the difference in being a Christian or being belonging to the Noon Lions? What's the difference? They sing better than you do. Years that make men jeer. Ah, where's the promise of his coming? Those years, those still, silent, deadening years. The years when we dream of the mountaintops, but we live in the valleys. You know, you're supposed to be mountain men. I don't mean literally. I mean, you're supposed to live on the mountaintops with God. You're supposed to walk in that rarefied air where you can see, where you're above only and not beneath. And we live down in these miasmic valleys far too long. Years of our great weakness. Years where we're targets. Men do more than jeer. We can't help the persecuting spirit that's in the land. But, oh God, do something to stop the mouths of the liars and to shut the mouths of those who do not speak the truth. The years where we just seem to just, that the prospect moves further and further away from us, and it almost looks as if it's slipping through our hands. What are these years? These are years of wrath. You know, you think, well, just like wandering through the wilderness, it's just like that around and around and around the mountain, off to those weary, howling wilderness wastes, and you think, oh, that's just something they had to go through. Those were years of God's resisting his people. You will know my opposition, he said. They were years of judgment. They're years of chastening. And they could not get out of them until the Lord says, let's go. Oh, they were blessed. I mean, they were so blessed that the nations feared them. But still, there is the land of promise just right there. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of these years. Could easily have been Caleb's prayer or Joshua's prayer or anyone's prayer. Ah, these years of wrath. What's the last line? Remember mercy. Remember mercy. From time to time, you go to the Lord and you tell him he is the only one that can have mercy. We just have a fellow feeling of compassion. We have some empathy. We have a little bit of sympathy from time to time. Every once in a while, we'll dig in our wallet and give somebody a little handout. That's not mercy. That's just doing the right thing. Mercy is when you receive from God what you do not deserve. You forfeited all the right to it. When we have abandoned and jettisoned any sense of a claim upon his acting. This man prays about God having mercy on a people that are going to be judged because of their sin. But right in the midst of that wrath, Lord, remember mercy. I don't know what is in store for our nation. I know what the good book says. God will yet visit his people. I know he will pour out his spirit and power in the last days. I know that he will come, a redeemer will come to Zion. I know he will take transgression from his people. It says so in the last days. Go read Hosea chapter 3. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. What will happen to America? I don't know. What will happen to you and to me? Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the year, listen to this. Make it known. We have a couple more minutes. Make it known. Let men see it. Let the jeers be silenced as they see the power of God upon the church, as they witness glory again resting on the people of God. When they see you, and you're still going through the same troubles that they go through, and yet there is the peace of God, there is the joy of the Lord in your heart, there is that that goes beyond understanding, and they say, surely God is with you. Make it known. Let's pray.